So this is HelpingHandsForCoaches.com, a free weekly Friday podcast on internet marketing for professional speakers and coaches. And I'm your host, Rachel Pradhan, and today's seven-panel discussion on Twitter for building brands and business is being brought to you by Indra Successful Coach Marketing, building custom, easy-to-edit websites, blogs, and more at IndraMarketing.com. During today's class, please be logged into your Twitter account and use the hashtag #HH4C, and that's the number four, so HH4C, to ask questions of our panelists or to tweet a point that you particularly liked. If you're not sure how to use the hashtags, simply use #HH4C in your tweet, and then find the search button on your Twitter homepage. It'll be either in the upper right or at the bottom of the page, and search for that hashtag, and you'll see the feed. We'll keep an eye on this feed, and we'll ask our panelists questions that you post. Today's call is being recorded, and you can listen to it on our blog, HelpingHandsForCoaches.com, in which you will also see a complete bio of each of our panelists, including Twitter IDs and websites. The podcast can also be found on most podcast directories, including Apple iTunes. So now let's get started by introducing our panelists. Our first panelist is Amy Martin, who you can find at twitter.com, Phoenix Suns Girl. Most recently, Amy spent three seasons with the Phoenix Suns developing their digital media platform and integrating new and existing marketing partner brands within all Sun Digital channels. Amy's area of expertise includes layering social media strategies to create one cohesive digital brand universe. She has developed a proprietary formula to mix traditional digital measurement with social media metrics. Her most recent example of social media success and growth of Shaquille O'Neal's digital brand via Twitter, implementing strategies such as random acts of Shaqness and Shaq Day. Prior to founding Digital Royalty and working with the Phoenix Suns, Amy was an account supervisor at a full-service ad agency working with clients such as the Arizona Cardinals, Phoenix Coyotes, and Super Bowl. She is a graduate of Arizona State University with a degree in marketing and business. And again, you can find her on Twitter at Phoenix Suns Girl. And her website is thedigitalroyalty.com. Our next panelist is Mark A. Pittman. He is a fundraising coach and author of Ask Without Fear. He has been internationally recognized by such organizations as Reuters, the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, the Chronicle of Philanthropy, and American Marketing Association. As a thought leader, Mark has individuals and organizations raise more money than they ever thought possible. He's presented at Black Bard's Conference for Nonprofits, Habitat for Humanity International, and the Association of Fundraising Professionals. And you can find him on Twitter at Mark A. Pittman. And his website is fundraisingcoach.com. Kate Nasser is the People Skills Coach. She celebrates her 20th year in business, inspiring and teaching customer service and teamwork to diverse audiences. As a professional speaker, Kate activates audiences with wisdom, energy, humor, and caring, as well as realism. She has a BS in mathematics, Pi Beta Kappa, and master's in organizational psychology. You can find her on Twitter at Kate Nasser, and as well as katenasser.com. Alan Stevens is a professional speaker, media coach, and author based in London. He speaks internationally and has spoken in over 25 countries in the past 3 years. He specializes in PR and media and is in great demand as a conference host and keynote speaker. In 2010, he will become president of the International Federation for Professional Speakers. You can find him on Twitter at MediaCoach and on his website, mediacoach.co.uk. Donna Amos has over 20 years' experience with solopreneurs to develop their marketing and sales strategies in order to build their businesses. Her experiences as an entrepreneur, sales trainer, management in a corporate world, as well as her formal coach training, made her uniquely qualified to support others as they create and grow their business. You can find her on Twitter at Donna Amos, and her website is solopreneurs.org. Monica Ogando is known as the Business Explosion Coach. Monica has received two undergraduate degrees from the University of Miami, where she put herself through college with an independent spirit and entrepreneurial motivation and graduated at the age of 20. Monica has created an entrepreneurial program for financial planners and has made over $100,000 in 3 months of launching the program. Monica's coaching and consulting challenge people to marry their humanity to their business and their profits to their purpose. You can find her on Twitter at Monica Ogando, and her website is fantasticalfocus40.com. fanaticalfocus40.com. And our last but not least panelist is Crystal Williamson, and she is a certified small business coach and consultant who loves to help holistic and helping professionals with their technology presence and computer applications. She started as a computer trainer in 1990 and hosts a Blog Talk radio show on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, where she talks about computer and learning trends and concepts for the beginning and already established entrepreneur. She's facilitating a technology coaching teleseminar in April 2009 to give guidance for new small business owners. And you can find her at Coach Crystal and on our website, coachingwithcrystal.com. So thank you so much to all of our panelists for being here today.
Rachel, congratulations for getting through all the introductions. Yeah. That was impressive.
Hold on. Almost took 10 minutes. My first question is going to be to Amy, Phoenix Suns girl. And how have you used Twitter to grow the Phoenix Suns and Shaquille O'Neal's digital brands?
Okay, first of all, I should probably start with, I realize I do have a little bit of a different angle here, but as it relates to sports and just any brand, the process actually started pretty organically. And as I was really just diving in and trying to listen and engage with fans, I realized how many fans had already started to congregate kind of in this space and in this forum, because there were other places that we had created for fans within our own controlled space. But reaching out to them where they already resided and had a natural, comfortable position kind of within was much more effective, we found. So taking that base and then just really starting to listen in the beginning and grow relationships and see ties and kind of who the influencers were, It started this notion of maybe we should all get together in real life and have a tweet up. So that was one angle of really taking the social media forum and community and turning it into a revenue-generating opportunity for the Phoenix Suns with selling group tickets, making it experiential for the fans to have more than just their regular game experience they would purchase as a general fan, and add appearances and special benefits to it. That was kind of one level of effectiveness when you're looking at monetizing. But more than anything, just for the brand itself to adopt new fans. I can't even count how many tweeps have come to me on Twitter and said, you know what, I wasn't really a basketball fan and I didn't even really, have an affinity to the Suns or the game or the sport. And you guys have made it fun because it's interesting to listen and get to know what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Kind of giving a glimpse of what the humans are like behind the brand and what you can really do to a logo as far as making it more personal, and by just kind of having someone really expose the day, you know, the ins and outs of the day. And then acquiring, I think there are now 25 people at the Phoenix Suns that are on Twitter, and they all come from different disciplines and different rank, you know, levels of authority within the company, from the mascot to our PR team to, you know, Mark West, who is an alumni, our coach, three players, you know, my supervisor even. So it's really been kind of a collaborative effort.
Was there any need to overcome people's kind of fear of being on Twitter, or did they always have the question of why would people be interested of why what I'm eating for breakfast or where I'm going today or things like that?
Yes, absolutely. And I as I listen more and speak with different brands, that is definitely a topic that is hot right now as far as corporate policy and even marketing. It's somewhat counterintuitive from everything we've all been doing, the fundamentals of marketing, to lose control of that message and feel like, you know, there might be more risk involved. But what I've learned through just listening, monitoring, and really starting to engage and build relationships, the upside is definitely worth it. And there is a lot you can do to help guide conversations if you're authentic and if you're you treat your fans in the right way, you know, and you provide consumers with what it is that they're looking for in the most beneficial way for the brand. There comes a point to where the conversations really skew so positive that any negative starts to weed itself out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to open this up to some of our other panelists. How have you used Twitter for your business? What kind of strategies have you developed for your Twitter? Let's start with Kate. How do you use Twitter to market your business?
Well, the most important thing in any marketing, I think, especially for someone like me who is not a media specialist, is to identify who it is I want to reach. And as a professional speaker, the audience I want to reach, of course, are meeting planners. So I started to do searches on words like meeting, event, planner, so forth, found a whole bunch of hashtags that related to that, and then started to follow those people and communicate with them via Twitter. So that's been actually quite successful because they then go out to my website and see my footage. And when a meeting planner is looking to hire a speaker, the first thing they want to see is, what do you like in front of an audience? So, you know, one told me that within 10 seconds, he knew whether or not he would ever hire that person. But getting people to go out and see my footage, of course, is the major challenge in my marketing as it relates to the speaking side of my business. So if you're going to use Twitter to market your coaching business or your speaking business, first figure out who it is you want to talk to. Not that you can't do general tweets and become more known, which is a more broader-based type target of mine, but especially when I want to get specific business, I want to go after the people that are looking to engage my services.
Okay. And how can we attract followers who are likely to buy our services, Mark?
Well, building on what was just said, there are so many good, great search tools. Search.twitter.com, Twello, and there are other ones out there. TweetGrid allows you to see different tweets that are happening at the same time, or TweetDeck, you can do that too. So you can follow people based on certain keywords. So for myself as a speaker, coach, and author, I do fundraising. So I search fundraisers, people that had fundraiser in their bio or name, and have developed a really fun group of people that are focused on the same thing. And as people have tweets about fundraising questions or nonprofits, I'm also monitoring those tweets that are going on. And when appropriate, I jump in and ask a question. I try not to be too pushy because nobody likes the high-pressured Sal, and if anybody's been the recipient of spam on Twitter, yesterday I got a DM inviting me to buy car insurance and save money from somebody that I started following, or who started following me, which was just one of, kind of the lowest point of Twitter I've ever had.
I hope it wasn't the Gecko Geico.
It wasn't that cool. No, at least the Gecko Geico would have made me smile as I unfollowed him. But but what I found from that to gaining followers is that as you make witty and fun comments, or as you're talking about watching the Red Sox and the Tampa, the Tampa whatever their team was that beat us, or whatever other things, people start from the people that you're responding to, that you're already following, people see them respond to you.
Right.
And so you're then being introduced to their networks. And it just has this really incredible viral ability to gather followers that you never would have had access to before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alan, how would you answer that question?
Well, I think I'd endorse a lot of the information that's already been put out there by my distinguished fellow guests. But, I mean, I use Twitter in three ways, really, to get business. The first thing is that I link with my peers. I'm very much in the media and PR sphere. I'm a speaker, obviously, but I speak about media and PR. So the first thing I did on Twitter a couple of years ago was to look for people who had PR, media, promotions, that sort of expertise, and link up with them. And the thing is, you can share information, but most importantly, you can cross-refer clients, and that I found particularly useful. Mm. The second thing I do is to offer help to people. I think that's what we all do, I'm sure, and I think that's a lot of what Twitter and social networking about is offering help.
Very much.
And it's all this givers gain thing that goes on here. For example, I now run a thing called a free PR clinic for half an hour when I have spare time. When I'm having a cup of coffee in Starbucks, or we have Starbucks here too, by the way. When I'm having a cup of coffee, or when I'm just taking a bit of downtime, I will put up a hashtag free PR clinic, and I'll just answer questions for 30 minutes to anybody who asks. And that creates links, and it creates people who are aware of what you do. And the third thing that I do is that I keep friendly with my existing clients. I allow them to send me direct messages. I get back to them at certain things because, as we all know, it's better to keep a client than get a new one. Mm-hmm. I introduce Twitter to them immediately. I do business with them, and they seem to love keeping in touch that way.
Okay. And Monica, who do you follow on Twitter, and how do you help them?
You know, I want to follow up on what Alan said about following not only the influencers in my field, but also following my clients, following folks who are looking for business coaches like me. And, you know, I read somewhere today that content is a new 21st century version of advertising. Mm-hmm. When you give good content, you add value to people, that's just as good as traditional advertising was several decades ago. And even more effective, because then not only do you develop that know, like, and trust factor, mm-hmm. but you're also creating approachability by putting it across social networking sites such as Twitter. And so for me, one of the reasons why I created the Fanatical Focus 40.com community was because I noticed that people were getting so overwhelmed with information. There's so many people with new programs, with try this strategy, try that strategy, and most of the people that I came across just wanted, like, tell me what to do and I'll do it, but it's time to hunker down and actually create some results and action. And so Twitter has allowed me to connect with those folks and say, listen, let's get to action. Let's use the stuff that you're learning, put it into practice in your business and create results and tweak it, and then leverage the Twitter community with the peers and your clients and your prospects to tweak your message and to make sure that you hone your results.
Okay, great. And Crystal, you have a little bit different of an approach to Twitter. Your Twitter account is actually private, so that means that if people want to follow you, they have to actually be approved. Yet our initial conversation proved that you actually have had success in gaining business while doing this. So while most people are out there trying to get a lot of followers, you have a different strategy. Tell us a little bit about that and your success with it.
Yeah, well, for me, with the followers, I also go to TweetDeck and a couple of search.twitter.com to just find like-minded people. And it's not necessarily people that I would want them as clients, but it might be just people who are like-minded. I'm also a computer geek, so I just find people that have similar you know, kind of a similar thoughts that I do. So, and I just put that out there for people. When I first started with Twitter, I said, well, this could be a supplement for my business. And I was very happy that all of a sudden all these like-minded people were following me. I wasn't even putting anything out there. And I actually, for every single person that follows me, I go and follow up who they are, who their people are that they follow. So I get as, well, I should say as little spam as possible, but I kind of laughed when I heard that said. I still get it. But I just, for every single person, is this a person that I could possibly connect with, I would actually want to be friends with in real life? And I don't necessarily think of them as a potential client, but it's just very interesting that all of them have been people that have connected with me both on my radio show but also in my coaching business. I've connected with people just before. Actually, I connected with a few people that just before, unfortunately, they were laid off, and they wanted some of my coaching skills so they could get to the next level. They felt that that was like a push for them in another direction. So things kind of happened very organically with my Twitter account. So what my thinking was just to look and connect and find with like-minded people, and those like-minded people just happened to be my perfect client for mm-hmm. my coaching business.
So, and you've actually had some success in gaining business, even though you have less than 100 Twitter followers.
Yes. I was very surprised because every person for the past couple of weeks on my radio show, every person that has called in or has emailed me, has downloaded the show afterward, said that they had found me on Twitter, and they wanted to connect with me on Twitter, and so I looked them up and I actually followed them on Twitter, and I don't necessarily follow everyone that follows me, but I just see if there's somebody that I can help. But yes, I've had great success, and I think it's mostly because that I just do a little bit more research. I just see if there's someone, that, as I said, that's like-minded, someone that's similar to a lot of what I like to do.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add something here, if I could. This is Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that Crystal is bringing up is I think something very, very important for coaches and speakers to keep in mind, and that is that the world of the Internet has gone through a major shift, whereas in the early 90s and even the middle and late 90s, it was very much what we like to call web 1.0,
yes,
where it was very unilateral in the sense of the provider was giving information to the prospect or to the client or the customer. And then it became a dialogue with the advent of blogs and the advent of chat and forums and et cetera. So it became a dialogue. And now what we're seeing is that it's become unilateral again, but now it's the onus of who gets what message or information in is now in the hands of the prospect of the client. They can unfollow you. They can unsubscribe. They now are picking and choosing what messages they hear, what people they follow, what information gets through to them. And so now it becomes very important for coaches and speakers to, you know, it's kind of like shifting, what is it called when you're sifting flour, you know, the good stuff gets through.
Right.
And so in the same way, we have to be, as coaches and speakers, very mindful and very selective of who it is that we are targeting and how much value we're providing to them, because they can, like Crystal said, just, you know, they don't follow everyone and they don't listen to everyone. People are becoming much more selective about what gets in, what information they let in, and so we get to step up the game in terms of the value that we create.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Donna, how do you create value through Twitter?
I think that's probably the most important thing, is to always be thinking about your followers and what can you do to provide value to them. Because then, if that's part of what you do consistently, when you need support, when you do put something out there that you would like to promote, they are happy to support you in that, because your main focus is bringing value to the people that are following you.
And it kind of brings up a question of value, and then ultimately we do want to build our business. So, Amy, how have you been able to measure the effectiveness or the return on time of your social media strategy, specifically using Twitter?
Great question. And that's where I have been working with some software over the past 2 years now that monitors online ecosystems, as crazy as that might sound. But it actually is an engine that, if you think of the online universe as just a big data universe, and then you start to narrow down what your brand or your client's brand relevance is within that huge cluttered data universe, is and or a specific project or initiative, you can actually start to make sense of what type of unpaid media value you're garnering for your clients. Or, and in my case, it would be the marketing partners for the Phoenix Suns, with the Phoenix Suns, or sponsors is what some teams call them. And also just the ability to manage the digital brand and see it in a 3D virtualization in terms of an ecosystem. And so I have the ability to see sentiment levels, if it's positive, negative, and everything in between, how the digital brand or the specific project or initiative online is skewing. It allows me to identify the key kind of influential touch points, whether it's a blogger or a news media article or a video that has authority, and that's measured based on inbound and outbound linkages. So it can get pretty technical, which isn't necessarily what we're concerned about, but the moral of the story is I have a dashboard that tells me, you know, what size of an ecosystem do we have here? Is it skewing positive? Is it growing quickly? You can make the viral power actually now tangible to where you can see it. It's no longer a fancy word that we use, you know, just a little bit in an abstract way. It's now something that's accessible. So this allows for us to take then the old school cold metrics that we all use our web analytics programs with our Omniture and DoubleClicks, and those impressions, page views, visits, unique visitors, time spent, and marry them with the warmer metrics that we now call social media and sentiment and authority, and when you bring those two together, it's easier to sell into, in my case, a brand manager, a media buyer, someone that's so used to having those hard numbers and those kind of core cold numbers to bring in social in a non-threatening way to the formula. So that's been a way to measure, like with Shaquille O'Neal and the Phoenix Suns, their ecosystems are separate but the same. As you can imagine, there's a ton of overlap. And right. So the ability to go in and identify kind of your 10 or 12 most influential brand champions is very valuable, because as soon as I launch something new for the Phoenix Suns, or there's an announcement or a marketing partner promotion, underground through DM, typically I'll go out and let the top 10, 12, 20 people on Twitter know, and maybe even some cases get feedback and ask them what they think, and then launch it, because if we have the buy-in, that support builds such a much larger network.
So this is an actual software that you use?
Yes, the Suns and Digital Royalty, I use Spiral 16 is the name of the company, and Spark is the tool set. It's pretty amazing how automated it is, and the back end is something we probably none of us would care to understand. It's you know, gaming algorithms and sport physics and these things that we don't necessarily need to understand. But I guess the
most like me.
It works. That's the bottom line.
Right. So it's called RO16. Is a company, and the tool set is called Spark?
It's called Spiral 16, Spiral, S-I-R-A-L 16, yep, and the tool set is S-P-A-R-K, okay. which is very natural, because you can actually see sparks within your ecosystem, and it makes perfect sense, so.
Sounds like fun. Okay, good. Thank you. And Amy brought something up that was kind of interesting about, it's not necessarily about always trying to push new products or services or partners, but it's about also getting feedback from top people. And Mark, you kind of talked a little bit about that when we were initially emailing. You had discussed how Twitter helped improve the quality of your work. Could you explain that a little bit?
Well, definitely. I don't know if you're familiar with the term of crowdsourcing, but there's the idea that one person doing something on its own can't, I'm paraphrasing it incredibly poorly, but one person doing something on their own is not going to be as creative or as comprehensive as a crowd, each giving their 2 cents. And so when I started following fundraisers, Twitter, I believe, really humanizes what we do as coaches and speakers, because often we can be the guru that's the man behind the curtain on the Wizard of Oz sort of phenomena. And it was, I remember the first time I actually asked, I'm also working at a hospital doing fundraising, and I was just having a really hard challenge doing the postscript for a fundraising letter. This is something that is fundraising 101. You put the person's name on the letter, and you put a postscript, and then you write the letter, because people are going to see if it's for them, and they're going to read what your summary is, and then if that intrigues them, they'll read the letter. And mine just sucked, so I just tweeted that. This postscript sucks. Can you help? And I got a bunch of people came together and started making suggestions, and one person actually asked me to email her the letter. And through all of that, I got a much stronger fundraising letter. And the results are still out. It just happened very, very recently. But it was really neat to see my organization that I work for through other people's eyes that weren't in the organization, because they were picking up positive things that other people were saying. When they just Googled our hospital, they found out that things that we weren't even saying about ourselves, about being in the top 10% of the hospital, of the hospitals in the United States, which we didn't do because we're Mainers. You don't brag about that stuff. But so it was really neat to see how, and so I've got hooked after that. I started just tweeting a whole bunch of different questions and trying to be part of that community. I don't want to always be just broadcasting stuff. That's what an RSS feed, you know, if people want broadcasts, they can subscribe to my blog. Mm-hmm. But Twitter needs to be a community event for people.
Mm-hmm. And with Twitter, we're creating our tribe. Mm-hmm. So yeah. We're creating a group of people, just like you said, that have that mindset, that nonprofit mindset, that want to actually help nonprofits do better.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Excellent. So that was you, Kate. So you also do crowdsourcing?
That wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't you. I'm sorry.
That's
who was
okay.
That?
I just don't want to take credit for someone else's remark. I will jump in, though, for just a minute and let you know that, you know, from my perspective, again, I'm not a media or PR expert at all. I'm a people skills expert, and just wanted to throw out a couple of things. No matter what business you are building or trying to build or market or expand through Twitter, the one thing that I've found is that years ago when something like Twitter didn't exist, when I got really busy, when my business was booming and I was on the road 3 weeks out of every month, I didn't market as much as I should because I was busy and I was exhausted. I'd come home on a Friday night, leave on a Sunday, and on Saturday I did the laundry. So in between time, but the flip side was I'm the most creative and the most innovative when I am busy because I'm an extrovert, so I pull all my energy when I'm out there with people. So the one thing I do now with Twitter is even when I'm busy, I can pop a tweet out there on some idea that I have to get discussion going, to get feedback, or to get help, as the gentleman just said. I'm sorry, whoever was just talking about the crowdsourcing, your name again. But it's very important now to realize that Twitter is really nothing more than old-fashioned handshake networking, but instead of exchanging business cards, we exchange tweets. And it means that you can do it while you're busy. You can do it on the fly the moment. You could get up a half an hour early in the morning to do it. Yep. You can always find time to do online networking. So it has expanded the possibilities of any business owner simply because when you're busy, there's only so many Chamber of Commerce business card exchanges that you can get your up to.
That's right.
How true. It's Alan. Can I come in here for a moment and just kind of back up what's just been said there, particularly what Mark was saying. about crowdsourcing. I mean, I think the great thing about Twitter is that it's a truly global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I've got contacts out of my couple of thousand followers and people I follow all over the world. I know that some are in Australia, some are in America, some are in Europe, some are in South Africa. And when I put a problem out, just like what Mark was saying about getting something solved, which I do as well, I get replies from everywhere, and they come in at different times of the day. And the thing about using Twitter is not to be parochial and not to look at your own area and your own contacts and your own peers or even your own state or even your own country.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be aware that there are people everywhere who are interested in the same sort of thing that you're interested in and could even become your clients, wherever they are.
Bravo.
So I would urge people who are listening to this to think globally. With regard to Twitter, because as you know, you can actually get a page up where you can look at where tweets are coming from. They're coming from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So throw your net as wide as you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. This is Monica. I want to jump in there and just say that, you know, it's there's a lot of good metric tools that you can use. TwitterCounter.com is one of them. Friend or follow is another. For you to test not only who's listening and who's responding to what you tweet about, but also what time of day people are most responsive to your tweets. Because, again, to your point, we live in a global community. And so, you know, I'm in Miami, Florida, and I'm in Eastern time. When I send something out at 6 o'clock in the morning, that's 8 o'clock at night in Australia.
Mm.
And so, or I think. It might be midnight. So if I'm trying to reach, for example, my coaching peers or my speaking peers in Australia, then they're probably sleeping. And so, unless they're night owls like me. And so it's important to use those metric tools in order for you to test the effectiveness of your communication on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mark. To get on, I also echo what Alan was saying, is that one of the reasons I like following people across the pond in particular is that in Maine at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning when I'm getting up, it's midday for them. So there's this wonderful community of Great Britain fundraisers that I'm getting to interact with, to the point where they thought I was at one of their conferences. They were doing tweets from a conference, and I was engaging with a couple of the people I follow on some of their quotes, which were just really helpful to see the tweets. Great way to start the day. And later in the day, I got a direct message from somebody that had been at the conference saying, thanks so much, those were insightful questions. apparently, my avatar picture looked a lot like somebody that was at the conference. And so I assured them that I would welcome the opportunity to be hired to speak at the conference in the future if they wanted that, but I hadn't been there.
Good.
This is Crystal. I actually have a couple of Twitter friends in India, and I'm on Eastern time, and they're 9.5 hours difference, which is odd, 9.5 hours. But I was almost the same thing happened to me. I tweeted some people, and they said, so can you come down tomorrow morning? And I said, no, I don't think so. I'm in New York City. But it's great, because now we're actually closer to each other, and mm-hmm. I, of course, not in a proximity sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is Monica again. I'm just going to jump in and try to monopolize conversation. you know, Kate was talking about being, you know, busy, and we're not only busy delivering for our clients, but busy with our own internal marketing and stuff. And again, one of the things that I use that is so useful in terms of managing my time so that it looks like I'm everywhere, but I'm really not, is tweetlater.com. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also use ping.fm.
Yes. Oh,
and what ping does is that it allows you to post a status update and sends it across different social networking sites that you might be connected with, like LinkedIn or MySpace or Plurk. I think Plurk is defunct now, but Twitter and other places, so that you send one status update and it populates them all. So that saves me, for every tweet, it saves me about 4.5 minutes. and you add that up, you know, I have over 2,000 updates on my account. That's like a day of tweeting.
Now, Monica, do you also blog? Because you can put your blog reader through Ping.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
Just leverage yeah. your yep. networking. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's right. My blog goes through that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ping FM is the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is Crystal.
Can someone, I mean, would it be too complicated for someone to explain to me how you get your blog reader to go through Ping? Or do you just put your blog URL on Ping and then it checks it every so often and then sends it out?
No, what you do is that you if you have your blog has an RSS or a feed
right.
burner,
Right.
And mm-hmm. so you can connect that with your ping.fm account so okay. that every time that you update a blog, post an entry on your blog, yeah. it automatically tells Ping about it.
Excellent. Thank you.
And it goes out.
This is now. Oh, go ahead. This is Amy.
No,
I just to maybe mention one other quick note as we were discussing kind of tone and just overall strategy with Twitter. One thing that I've really noticed and I keep coming back to as I speak with other teams and they're trying to kind of find their place and their strategy on Twitter to grow the teams is at the end of the day, it's still a social space. And mm-hmm. so as we're all trained to speak in headlines and speak in our corporate kind of brand speak, those hats have to become just a little bit looser, and mm-hmm. we wouldn't walk into a social function and start speaking necessarily that way and blasting out headlines. And I think it's just something to keep top of mind, because you look at different sports entities across all of the leagues, you can see which ones are warm and have the personality and conversation behind them versus the basically a mobile text alert, you know. So that's really helped me and grow, you know, my follower base, and it becomes like having friends just the same on Facebook. You really get mm-hmm. to know. I've met so many people on Twitter and very influential and wonderful people that are friends now, as well as business partners and business associates. So it's just something to keep in mind is tone and the space in general, and not to try and change, walk into someone's space and speak to them in a way that might not be conducive to what it started out as, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Great. I like that. Now, Kate, I'm going to post this question to you because you are a speaker on customer service. So
right.
do you see a way that people can utilize Twitter as well, not just for connecting, prospecting socially, but also as a customer service tool? Do you use
it
in that?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, I think everybody's already read about how Zappos is doing that. Dialoguing with your clients, getting their constant feedback is probably the one key element in success. There is absolutely no other way to really satisfy your customers than to have that conversation with them. And then, of course, decades gone by, you had to set up focus groups, you had to get them there, you had to, you know, take up their time. Now the customers could tweet something any time of the day or night from any part of the globe. And so having that dialogue going is it's just invaluable. There is no other way to do that. Social networking. It's interesting that we keep calling it social networking. If anybody knows why we called it social, I'd love to hear that. because to me, it's so much of it is becoming focused on just plain old networking, which you do for business, you do for social reasons, and so forth. But yes, customer service is becoming a key part of Twitter. And the one thing I wanted to echo, the other point made about, you know, how you speak to people. I just wrote a very short blog post the other day about, you know, making sure that we don't use jargon that other people don't understand. Because I'm about to get rid of my financial advisor, because no matter what question I ask him, he comes, I can't understand a word of what he says. I'm just about ready to jump out of my skin. And since I teach people skills for a living, that's my little rant for the day. You know, mm-hmm. we have to speak in words that people can understand. And in spite of my hoarse voice because of my 3-day cold here, hopefully I'm using words and expressing myself in ways that the listeners can kind of connect with, not just the words, but the meaning and the emotionality of it. So I think that, you know, it's very, very important to connect with people in words that they understand, and customer service, of course, hinges on that.
Mm-hmm. One example that I have of using Twitter to connect with your customers and provide amazing customer service is Southwest Airlines,
yeah.
Who, by the way, I just personally love. And if anybody is on the call who is on Twitter, retweet that Southwest Air just rules. They've been profitable every quarter since they first started in 1971, and it is because of their amazing customer service. Mm-hmm. And it is because of Twitter. I want you to know that it is because of Twitter and people actually talking to Southwest Air through Twitter that they're now going to add several routes to their services that they hadn't before, Atlanta being one of them.
Yeah.
And it's important to me because I'm opening up an office in Atlanta, so I want them to fly there.
Well, the other thing that Southwest does, by the way, and they've always done it, is that every time someone comes up with a customer service improvement suggestion, they always compare it to their business kernel of an idea of exactly why they're in business. And they are in business always to be the cheapest business class airline, not business class as in first class seats, but, you know, so whatever customer service, there was a story that someone put out there on, I think it was on Twitter, that someone came up with the idea of serving a chicken salad sandwich, start serving food on Southwest quite a few years ago. And the CEO said, how does that, you know, create more customers for our brand, which is a very, you know, we're going to keep the prices down. And when they couldn't answer that question, they didn't add the chicken salad sandwich to the menu.
Rachel, one of the things that I've been excited about with Twitter is that if for any of you that have written a book or had products that come from a publisher or some sort of manufacturer, not all of them come in the best-selling presentation. Some of the I've been just appalled that some of the covers on my books have just, they're missing color. They're little white dings, and I'm pretty perfectionist, so I wouldn't want to put them in a bookstore or sell them through my website. I wouldn't want to, if I were the customer, I wouldn't want to pay for that, pay the full price. So I've used Twitter to, I was just sitting on this inventory, and I just started using Twitter to, I call them factory second books. Content's exactly the same, it's just the cover looks a little imperfect. And I tell people to send a certain amount of money to PayPal, give them my email address right in the tweet. And it's amazing. I've been able to sell for about half price these books that I was just sitting on otherwise. There was no revenue coming in from them. They were just an expense. And so it's been really neat to see how Twitter, and I only do it on Twitter, although I have my Twitter connected to Facebook. So I have to remember to check Facebook because some people respond there too.
Well,
it's neat to kind of take some of the money off the table.
You bring up a great point in terms of, you know, offering Twitter exclusives. You know, we used to always say the money's in the list, the money's in the list, and what we're finding out, just like we coaches and speakers should always be talking about diversifying their streams of revenue,
mm-hmm.
it's also about diversifying how you do your outreach with your prospects and your clients. And so you have your networking that you do in person, and you have the list that you email to, and email deliverability has become such a challenge recently that it's great to be able to reach people on Facebook, to reach them on Twitter. And when you offer people Twitter exclusives in that way, not only do you gain goodwill with the people who are listening to you, but you also create an incentive for people who are maybe on your list, on your email list, and on other social networking sites to join you there as well. So you're maximizing the outreach.
Yeah.
Studies show that, you know, it takes 7 to 9 touches for people to even hear what you're saying and have it on their radar. So when you do it that way, then you're maximizing it.
That's a very good point. And if I can just come in there, my co-author and I have just finished a book of 25 celebrity interviews. I'm talking European celebrities, so you wouldn't know who they were. The fact is, we've just finished it. It's at the publishers, and we've been documenting the progress of the book on Twitter.
Yes.
As a result of that, people have been following and getting interested, and we've been posting the odd interview up and down. We've now got a list of people who want to buy the book, and the book doesn't even exist yet. Hopefully in a week or two it will. But it's just been extraordinary to see how people have got interested in something by being apparently part of the process, not just being sold the finished product.
And I like the idea of Twitter being able to, you can see things on Twitter without necessarily, and learn things on Twitter without necessarily getting 50 million emails in your email box. And someone earlier just said, you know, if they're not necessarily reaching people through email, you can reach them through Twitter or, you know, LinkedIn, places where, especially Twitter, when you can go out and browse around, and if I see something that I really want to learn more about, I'll DM or reply to that person, even give them my email if I want something that can't be done in 140 characters.
Right.
But it's this wealth of knowledge and learning stream that I'm totally into, and I've only been on Twitter since probably, what, November?
The other thing that you guys bring up a great point with the books and launches is that experimenting is Twitter is just such a great place for experimenting because the conversation is alive, and try something and it doesn't work, it's gone. And it's not
so true.
It's on a site that everybody's staring at your failure for 10 days. But that's really a lot of what I did for the Suns and what I'm doing for Digital Royalty. With the Suns, for example, I would take to Shaquille some ideas and say, hey, let's start Random Acts of Shaqness. You're very and you have a mind of your own, and you can take the ball and run from there, but here are some examples of things you can do, and we'll see if it works. And sure enough, you know, obviously his brand is such that it lends to a huge audience, but other examples were virtual pep rallies. You know, let's throw one all of a sudden and see what happens. You know, things like that. Let's have a virtual wave. Just really, they can be done pretty much.
I love that.
Last minute, National Shaq Day for his birthday on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Kind of started a video contest, and so it's really kind of experimenting, and I don't think that we should be fearful of that because once again, it's most of this base of this audience on Twitter. The one common denominator is that they have to be somewhat of an early adopter to technology and or social interaction. So we have that going for us in terms of the audience. And it's a live conversation. The discussions are alive, so they do have a shelf life, I think, is the point. You can always find them later through search, obviously, but but it isn't like posting a headline in a paper and then you have staring at your, you know, staring back at you for.
And this is Crystal. I agree 100%. One of the things about Twitter, we can have the 140 characters. Everyone can be concise, and there's great quality in what they twit. Tweet. I'm sorry.
Are you calling us names?
I guess that wasn't a Freudian slip.
You know what, though? You're right, because it's a great way to develop your, as we used to call it, your elevator speech. And you keep, you can't sort of just reduce words to, you know, little abbreviations, but it does give you practice on being more concise, and that is a huge benefit in this business world.
Well, I think coaches and speakers, this is Monica, who use Twitter, are the perfect guests to be on a TV show or a radio show because they know how to pack their message. Exactly. That should be a pre-qualifying question for the guests. Yeah, are you on Twitter?
Are you on Twitter?
Alan, you're the media coach. Would you?
You couldn't see me nodding, but I was nodding away like a That's absolutely spot on. Well done.
Twitter is the equivalent of a New York Minute. I'm from New York, so.
And so am I. I'm from New York as well.
Okay, great.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we have less than 10 minutes, actually. We have about 7 minutes. So I was wondering if each of us could wrap up in a minute or less, why should a coach, speaker, or brand be on Twitter? Amy, do you want to get us started?
Yes, why should a coach or brand? Well, just to begin with, we can't ignore the space due to the volume, and there's been a tipping point. I think we can all agree that mainstream media has now picked up, and we have Twitter basically correspondents on the Today Show. So it can't be ignored. There's such an upside with connecting one-on-one with clients, with fans, with celebrities and personalities that you really don't have a forum for doing that anywhere else. And to be able to create a relationship with someone through technology that's very convenient, that's something that can't be ignored, especially in the masses, yet the relationships and conversations can be so intimate. Was that a minute? But
yeah,
keep going.
That's good. Mark, do you want to...
Well, I'll keep it really brief. Who wouldn't, as a solopreneur or coach or brand, want to have a free tool that could give them global reach?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's about 140 characters.
That's the test.
Form, to the form. Kate?
Basically, if you're not on Twitter, you're missing the biggest opportunity for low-cost free PR in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alan.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with those remarks. And what I would say, I mean, we're, a lot of us are run small businesses. You know, we don't have huge numbers of staff. But why would you turn down a tool that you can spend 15 to 30 minutes a day using, and just that, and yet it can double the amount of business that you bring in? And that's what's happened to me in the last 3 months on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't everybody do that? Exactly. You'd be crazy not to.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And Donna?
I would say twofold. One, I can use Twitter to really brag about my clients, so really putting them on a pedestal. And the second is it's a great way for people to get to experience you and to learn to trust you and like you, and that's the people they buy from.
Thank you. And Monica?
You know, I made a quick list while everybody was talking about the value of Twitter for coaches and speakers. Number one, like Amy said, you can fail fast for free. You can get feedback from people about the things that you want to put out there in terms of your products and your services. But also, you can actually build your influence and your visibility in a very viral way. When you develop relationships with folks, they then become your amen corner, your church corner, and start retweeting and talking about you and building you up in that way. And it's the best way to do viral marketing outside of, you know, no more pay-per-click and no more, you know, convincing someone to do a joint venture with you. You can build your tribe and tweet about it.
And Crystal?
Yes, it's that know, like, and trust factor that helps you with your connection to others. And it helps me be responsible to the people that I friend or follow or potential clients, and also they're responsible for everything they do on Twitter. And it's done for $0. And if you set a kitchen timer, you could keep it pretty concise yourself.
Well, excellent. Thank you so much, everyone, to all of our panelists. Amy Martin of TheDigitalRoyalty.com, Mark A. Pittman of FundraisingCoach.com, Kate Nasser at KateNasser.com, Alan Stevens of MediaCoach.co.uk, Donna Amos of Solopreneurs.org, Monica Ogando of FanaticalFocus40.com, and Crystal Williamson of CoachingWithCrystal.com. Today's seven-panel discussion on Twitter for building brand and business is being brought to you by Indra Successful Coach Marketing, building custom, easy-to-edit websites, blogs, and more at IndraMarketing.com. Remember that you can listen to this podcast, which was recorded, at helpinghandsforcoaches.com, in which you can also learn more about our panelists today, including full bios, their websites, and their Twitter IDs. And you can also learn about next week's class, which will be on building coaching communities through Ning.com. A wonderful week, everyone.
Thanks so much, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel.
Let us know if you need to know how to use Twitter.
Wonderful. Hey, and some people might be asking questions on the blog once I post the audio, so check back if you will and contribute.
Absolutely.
Sure will.
Absolutely.
Go Suns.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.